in seeking to comfort one another in our various troubles and trials, it may not seem very appropriate to mention weeping and tears. And yet, when we are deeply moved and under the stress and strain of emotion, what a safety valve tears can be. I am always thankful for the scriptural record that on at least two occasions, Jesus wept. He wept over the death of Lazarus, and according to John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 36, the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." Those of us who believe in him are no longer dead in trespasses and sins, but I can't help thinking that he must still weep at times as he mourns over our wayward and rebellious thoughts and actions, notwithstanding his great love for us. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41 tells us that as he came near to Jerusalem and saw it, he wept over it. These were tears of pity as he foretold its destruction and grieved over the failure of its people to recognize the one who was visiting their city. His tears not only confirm that he shared our weaknesses, but they seem to me to provide an answer to the assertion sometimes made that he never laughed. Admittedly, there is no specific mention of it in the Gospels, but surely if he experienced the emotion of weeping, he also laughed. In any event, real joy is something deeper and more satisfying than mere laughter, which can quickly change to tears. The Saviour himself warned, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." He had just previously said, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Luke chapter 6 and verses 21 and 25. In that prayer of his to the Father in John's Gospel chapter 17, the Lord asked that his disciples might have his joy fulfilled in themselves, and he had already told them to be of good cheer in the midst of tribulation, because he had overcome the world. For our scripture portion, let us read Psalm 126, where laughter and singing, tears and joy, weeping and rejoicing are all brought together. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord hath done great things for them." The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And hasn't the Lord done great things for us, and ought not we to be glad? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father, and we are apt to forget that every breath we draw is a gift from him. This psalm says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." How prophetic that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 that in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. But Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11 assures us that he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. As Hebrews 2 And verse 10 puts it, bringing many sons unto glory. David, strong as he was, and a man of war, was nevertheless acquainted with tears. In Psalm 39 and verse 12, he says, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry, hold not thy peace at my tears. And in Psalm 56 and verse 8, Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Paul, too, found cause for weeping, as he wrote to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 17 to 19. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, or perdition, waste, as the word is, whose end is perdition, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Elsewhere, he points us away from earthly things to the things above. Turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And the margin says, set your mind on things above. So there is the contrast with mind earthly things, but rather set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, or be made manifest, then shall ye also be made manifest with him in glory. Now there is no reason to be ashamed of tears. I do not know the source of the following lines, but I think they are very apt. Tears are blessings, let them flow. They are of angels making, sent to us on earth below to keep our hearts from breaking. Sorrows sent to temper joy, sighs to balance laughter. Too much gladness does but cloy, tears are welcome after. Do not say that tears are weak, they become the strongest, and they suffer most of all who keep them back the longest. We are wise who yield to tears, nor let our pride prevent us. They are waters from the well God himself has sent us. Someone has said there is a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. They are the messengers of overwhelming grief, of deep contrition, and of unspeakable love. And we must not forget that God has used even a babe's tears for his own wondrous purposes. We read in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus how Pharaoh's daughter discovered the little basket of bulrushes containing the infant Moses. And, behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. The Lord give us all grace when we see the tears of another, babe or adult, to have compassion and a bond of sympathy.